Yeah, we can totally start just like this. That's fine. The news, two weeks ago now, I think, Terry Pegula and Kim Pegula.
Don't forget about Kim.
Putting in the offer to buy the Buffalo Bills that actually got approved by the NFL Finance Committee or whatever. So now it just has to get voted by the owners and needs a, 75% majority vote. And then, boom, Buffalo is now Pegulaville.
Yep.
Life is awesome. That's what I think. That's what every Buffalo fan in general should think, because even though we're enduring hardship with the Sabres, everyone believes that that team's going to be turned around with all the young talent. And the Bills right now are looking solid as it is, and we just know that they're staying. I mean, that's the happiest thing in the world. We know that they're staying. They're not moving. This huge boulder that we've had on our chest for the past 14 years, being scared if they're going to be moving away, like our own pride and joy, the team that we grew up loving, thought they might just be gone. Gone right after Ralph passed away, which inevitably and unfortunately happened. But no, Terry Pegula, just this guy out of nowhere saving both the Sabres and now the Buffalo Bills. He is a superhero in my book. Love it. Love it.
You're not at all concerned that he owns like the whole city of Buffalo?
No, I love monopolies. I'm a huge supporter of monopolies. I like the board game Monopoly. Not completely worried at all. On a realistic note, I would be worried if it was someone with less resources, I suppose. I mean, you need a lot of resources in general to own an NFL team. But just knowing his background, his wife's background, I feel like they're just 100% committed to both the teams that they own, along with Pegula Enterprise, Sports Enterprise, or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, that's good. He definitely has the resources. I was more talking about like the fact that like the number one issue in this country, in my opinion, is income inequality, and we're basically just like, we're all just sucking on the teat of Pegula because like he's just buying up everything, and we all just think it's awesome. But I mean, I don't know. Maybe this is probably not the time to talk about that conversation. But how do you think he's going to be good at managing the Bills? You're not worried at all about what kind of owner he's going to be?
Real quick with your equality point, some rich yuppie was going to buy the Bills anyways. Could
might
have been
as
that
well
Toronto group with Bon Jovi. Well be our yuppie, okay? At least like we have a yuppie in our pond.
A Buffalo yuppie.
Yep, a Buffalo yuppie. I'm not at all concerned with him owning the Bills. I mean, he already owns a sports franchise, completely different sport, but I feel that he has some connections, I guess, with at least hockey. He had connections with President Black, right? Yeah, President Black, who has, I would say, done a decent job. I think Pegula will probably take a patient approach with the Bills as far as Russ Brandon still being the president, CEO, or just president, I mean, and Doug Whaley, GM, Coach Marone. I think they're basically like safe for the year, which I'm happy about. And I would have said I was happy about it before the year began, even if it was a train wreck, just to give them just more time to implement their plan. Because I mean, when we first got news of Russ Brandon taking over being president and him hiring Doug Marone, everything was new. And then we found out that Doug Whaley was going to take over Buddy Nix. Everything was new. Like, all of a sudden, our median age on the Bills staff went from like 86 down to like 21. I mean, those are exaggerations, but it was a huge, like,
we have
jump.
the youngest president, GM and coach, like average age, I believe, maybe just president and GM.
Yep. So I'm completely confident that he'll be able to make the right decisions. I don't know. What do you think?
Do you want Pegula to give them time?
Yes, I do. I want him to be patient with them.
Would you have said that 2 weeks ago?
I would still want them to be patient, even after the whole Doug Marrone like being in a screaming match with like players and coaches. Like,
I mean, that story has no relevance at this point. That just looks like somebody just trying to start something. Jason Lockenfora.
Coach Marrone. Coach starting the Bills.
Coach Marrone getting the
on
Bills
a winning streak.
Getting the Bills going.
I don't know. You don't seem too thrilled about it, though. What's up?
I mean, I don't know. I'm definitely happy that like we have an owner who's going to keep the Bills in Buffalo, but I kind of thought that would happen anyways. And I don't know. I just don't love something about Pegula. I just don't see him as like a guy who's willing to do whatever it takes to win. I almost think he's like too nice and a little too soft, and it's going to be too loyal, and it's going to let like personal relationships get in the way of winning.
That's hard to say.
I mean, it's a total like I'm basing that off like just watching him talk and like the decisions he's made so far, but
right, which has been minimal too. I mean, besides his first like half season owning the Sabres, he's been very quiet as far as making just public announcements in general with the media.
But overall, you're super excited, just like the rest of Buffalo is.
Super pumped. Just
I'm pretty
constantly
pumped. I'm
shooting pumped alcohol in my veins. Tailgating 24 hours, 7 days a week.
Speaking of tailgating, did you see any of the photos from the Bills game?
No, I did not.
Look pretty crazy in that parking lot before and after the game.
Like a lot of bad choices being made, or like
tailgating. Just a lot of Bills excitement going down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard the 219 was already like backed up a little bit like at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Well, the RV lot has never sold out before Sunday, and it was sold out. It was full at 11 a.m. on Saturday morning.
Awesome.
And people were still there on Monday. Just still celebrating the Bills win.
It was a huge win. It was a huge win.
It was a huge win. Did you get a chance to watch the game down in South Carolina?
Of course. Found this awesome backers bar called Hunley's just outside of Charleston. Got about...
Shout out to Hunley's.
Hunley's, yeah, there you go, free advertising for you. I would say about 50 to 70 people like packed in this small bar. Like I'm sure fire codes were broken both games, but it was awesome. Just an awesome experience. We're singing, you know, the shout song after touchdowns. It's just amazing. It's the best thing I can do as far as right now for watching the game, so I love it.
It's the Buffalo X7 Show, featuring your host, Vinny.
I don't even know what that means. It's lacking. There's nothing there. No taste buds. Butterscotch.
And Butters.
I have no idea.
People's got it. Max has it. A couple of my other friends have it. Human-controlled people.
What'd you think about that Bills defense? Looked pretty. Looked like a steel curtain, for lack of a better term. Look like a wall of blue. A blue wall.
It looked like an ocean that
like
Moses
an
couldn't
impenetrable
even part.
Ocean. Exactly. Yeah. Even Moses couldn't split the Bills D. I like it.
Nope. He would just walk and drown. He'd be engulfed by that water. It was amazing. It was fantastic before the season started when Mike Pettine went from the Bills staff to the Cleveland Browns. In my head, I'm like, oh my, and then we lose, and then we lose Bird. Kiko's
Kiko.
Out. Like, we had it such an awesome defense last year. I think it's all going down the crapper.
We all thought,
what
that
are we
D
going
was
to do?
Take a step back, but after 2 weeks, I actually think our defense looks better than last year.
It looks pretty solid.
I mean, it looks like a top five defense.
It really does. I'm a little skeptical still on our secondary, but
yeah,
now that I mean, Gilmore's back, I mean, and the emergence of Corey Graham.
Is awesome.
Corey freaking Graham.
Who is that guy? He's awesome.
Who would ever think, like, two amateur podcasters would be talking about Corey Graham going into week three? He's a beast out there.
You know,
he's a beast.
He's from Buffalo, right?
He is?
Yeah, he went to, I believe, Turner Carroll High School. He's definitely went to high school in Buffalo.
Awesome. Well, maybe we should just draft
him and Mike. Him and Mike Williams both went.
Yeah, Williams went to Riverside, right?
Riverside, yeah.
Yeah, he went to Riverside and Syracuse for a little bit. And yeah, so the defense credit, I guess. Jim Schwartz. I mean,
yeah.
the personnel's there. I mean, our D line is still like sick, but
yeah.
I hated
Schwartz like as a head coach. I just didn't like his personality, and you just kind of seem like a smart ass who's like trying to fight the other coaches and stuff, but
yep.
I mean, he seems like so far I couldn't be more happy with the defense that he's put out there. So
yeah, the past 2 weeks, just
yeah,
phenomenal. I mean, especially like Miami, whatever, their Moreno went down first
yeah.
play.
No Sean
no-showed after the first play. So I think that helped. I think that helped the run defense a lot. But
definitely,
even against the Bears, even though Alshon Jeffrey wasn't in the second half, the secondary still put up like incredible like numbers as far as how many yards they allowed. The turnovers are still there, which is, you know, it's just awesome.
I mean,
it's awesome and reassuring to see.
Look at what Chicago did last week to the Niners, and Jeffrey was a non-factor in that game too. And mm-hmm. like, I mean, Chicago was still able to move the ball, and Cutler had four passing touchdowns.
Yep. So we also don't know now how good Miami is, because first week they beat the Patriots, but I mean, we beat the Dolphins, we beat Chicago. It's really hard to assess how our team
is right now, even though this week is going to say a lot, but at the same time, it's like, even if we beat San Diego, it'll be like, oh, well, West Coast team playing out east,
right.
Like...
Yep, traveling.
But at some point, like, it doesn't really matter, as long as you're winning games, like, who cares? Mm-hmm. Who cares how good you are if you keep winning, you know?
Yep. So, defense, solid. Special teams, solid.
That's
that Spiller
awesome.
Return was fantastic. 102-yard return.
Blocked punt.
I'm not really in favor of Spiller returning kickoffs just for the fact that he could be injured. But you know what? Maybe Doug Marone's like, you know what? I have Fred Jackson, I have Booby Dixon, and I have Bryce Brown right on my bench. Go make a thriller, Spiller.
I wonder if the numbers even support that concept that you're like more likely to get hurt on a kickoff return or something. I mean, he actually did get hurt on the first kickoff return against the Dolphins, but he was obviously okay.
I mean, that's why the NFL wants to get rid of kickoffs, basically, is because of all the injuries.
But I think it's more about the guys blocking and hitting like the wedge and stuff like that. I don't know if it's necessarily the guy with the ball who they're worried about.
Maybe. I mean, whatever. We have insane depth.
It just seems like you're just as likely to get hurt on a handoff as a kickoff return, in my opinion.
Maybe. Defense is stationary, not running full speed at you. You're not running full speed at them, depending on, you know, the situation where you get the ball, what
yeah.
I don't know what the layout is, but yeah. So special teams looks absolutely solid, and then brings us to a really interesting topic: the offense. I just want to give a huge shout out to Santrell Henderson, 7th round draft pick. Cameron Wake.
I think it's Chantrell.
No, he likes it the way I pronounce it.
He went with
that pronunciation for his whole life until after I just pronounced it
gotcha.
Central, and then he's like, "Yep, That's my first name. That's what I like to be called.
Sontro.
Henderson, though, Cameron Wake, no sacks.
Shut him down.
Also, that was because of Hackett's scheme, quick releases, or also double teams on Wake. But still, just having that responsibility of sometimes having to deal with Wake one-on-one and the way that he handled it, incredible.
Yeah. And it wasn't, there weren't all quick releases. It seemed like there's plenty of times where, like, Manuel was just standing back there. Like that first completion to Watkins, Watkins was just like standing 20 yards downfield wide open, and like Manuel had tons of time to find him. I thought the offensive line was like the unsung hero of the game. I thought they played amazing.
They won the trenches there. They won that battle, which I've personally just have begun to love watching, like just focusing on offensive line versus defensive ends and inside linemen. It's awesome just to watch it. I almost want to get the all 22 just so I can watch the trenches for a full 60 minutes. It's
well, you don't
it's
even
just
need
such an awesome battle.
You don't even need the all 22 to watch the line. It's like
true. You just DVR the game, I suppose.
Yeah.
Save myself $75.
All 22 is really good to, if you want to see like the patterns develop in the secondary and stuff like that, because that's the stuff that you don't see until the ball gets there.
True. Very true. Yeah. And then speaking of which. A player would be awesome to watch with the All-22, Sammy Watkins, who had his breakout game only in week two. Crazy. 8 catches, over 100 yards. He got that touchdown, which it was a touchdown, right?
It was a touchdown. On that play, I thought he fumbled it, but then got it back just long enough to spike it on the pylon for Summers, and which is what he did. But like, yeah, the ball definitely got knocked loose like on the one, but he definitely caught it and had possession and then just like dropped it on the goal line.
He dominated the receiving corps. At least 8 catches his way, and Mike Williams and Robert Woods only caught one pass each. I think
Woods had 1 for 5. I know that.
Yep. And then Williams also had 1 for something.
Woods might not play this week, but
is he what's wrong?
Ankle, hurt his ankle. He's been limited all week.
During the game he hurt his ankle?
I think so. Marone said today that if the game was like right now, he wouldn't be able to play.
So you put Goodwin in his spot?
Well, no, you put Mike Williams in his spot.
Well, then put it's Goodwin
Williams
outside.
Watkins would be your 1 and 2, and then you'd put Goodwin in the slot, I guess.
Right, you'd put Goodwin would be fourth, would be considered the fourth receiver if, like, Woods was healthy.
Yeah. Him or Hogan, I guess.
Right, who
and we haven't even, I don't think we've
Hogan had an awesome
completed
game.
A pass to anyone besides Williams, Woods, and Watkins.
Woods and Watkins. It's true.
I mean, it's in terms also of with wide receivers.
It's also because of all the sets that we've been using. We've been using a lot of 2 running back sets or 1 running back, tight end, and then the wide receiving core. So yeah. We really haven't had a lot.
We've been running the ball a ton.
4 receiving
we've
sets.
We've really only been passing like when we had to, but it's been working out. So
crazy oldest running back in the NFL, Fred Jackson, still lighting it up.
Still making plays.
Are you kidding me? He's crazy. Division 3 college? Division 2? Yeah, Cole College, D2.
Cole College, yeah, I think D2. But it might
D2
be
D2
yeah,
running
know.
Back. Oldest running back in the NFL and still looking amazing. Hats off to Fred Jackson. Yeah. He's basically the football player I think every football player should strive to be. He has it all, I feel like.
He's like a great fit for like Buffalo too. Like kind of like a unsung guy, but just like loves the game and makes a bunch of plays, and you can tell he really wants to win. And EJ Manuel,
so talked about everyone else.
We've got his name
EJ
down.
Manuel.
His name
EJ
is
EJ Manuel. What's his first name?
Emmanuel. Emmanuel James Manuel. Edgar and James Manuel. I don't know what
Edgar James Manuel.
I don't know
what
his name is.
So how do you think he's been playing?
Good. pretty good. I'm still not totally convinced that we wouldn't be a better team with Kyle Orton.
Ooh.
Not totally convinced. Like, there's a part of me that thinks, like, man, the Bills are pretty good, but imagine, like, a better QB in there. And I don't even know if Orton is a better QB. Like, definitely, like, week one, I was like, I mean, I don't know if I want to say this on tape, but I was kind of hoping for EJ to get hurt in week one because I was just like, he's awful, let's bring in the backup. But I'm definitely past that point. At this point, I don't want EJ to get hurt because the unknown might not be better, and I'm comfortable with how well he's played.
Right, and then you'd be stuck with that unknown.
And then you'd be stuck with that unknown no matter what. Like, yeah, we could put in order, and he just throws like three picks a game and...
At least right now, we're still all optimists. We all are still hoping for a great season, which Manuel's been, he's been playing average, which is awesome.
Exactly. I said before the season, like, if the Bills just have, like, the 15th best QB in the league, they're a playoff team, like, because we have so much talent everywhere else.
Exactly. Manuel just has to basically throw for over 200 yards, or just 200 yards, just 200 one touchdown, yards. One interception.
Yeah.
That's it.
Exactly. Happy. And just complete 65% of your passes. 60% I'd be happy with. He's actually been at like 66%.
Yeah, his accuracy has been improved. He's still missing, you know, those throws, but it seems like it's a lot better from the limited amount of games he played.
Yeah,
from,
what I'm most excited about season. Is the fact that it seems like he's beginning to, like, lead this team. I mean, it was talked about the speech he gave before the game. Before the Chicago game. And I saw after the game in the locker room, they had cameras in there after we beat the Dolphins. And EJ was the one, like, leading the team, like, when they all... you know, put their hands in and talk about, like, not being complacent and working hard for the next week. And, I mean, I don't know. He seemed like a real leader. And, like, I like that as much as anything that he does on the field, like the off-the-field stuff. If he can, like, get guys to follow him and buy in and just stay focused and work hard, like, I think that's a big part of being a quarterback.
You could almost compare him to Captain America, all right? Just hang with me, because I know you love your superhero movies.
Kaepernick?
Captain America.
Colin Kaepernick?
No, Captain America. He's not the greatest superhero, all right? He's average. You know, he's a little strong. He's got a cute little shield, whatever, okay? He holds his own, and that's Manuel. He can hold his own, whatever. Like, that's all we want from him. Captain America is an awesome leader, which is why he's basically the leader of the Avengers, and that's basically what we need Manuel to be. Average with his athletic ability, but a really good leader for the football team, and hopefully he can lead the charge and finally get us to the promised land, which we're not even talking about Super Bowl. We're just talking about getting into the playoffs. That's our promised land for right now.
I like it. Is Tom Brady, like, is he Thor?
No, Tom Brady's like Loki, all right? He's a bad demon god.
Gotcha.
Awful. Stupid.
Kaepernick would be the Incredible Hulk. Have you seen that guy without a shirt on? What?
Oh, man.
Plus, he gets angry a lot.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He would get angry a lot, just like the Hulk. And you don't want to see the Hulk angry. You also don't want to see football players angry off the field, right?
Well, that's for sure. I mean, who knows who they might swing at next.
I mean, they need to draw a line from hitting on the field and then just wait for the following week to hit again. Because this past week, week and a half, 2 weeks, been ridiculous with all the news that just keeps coming out. I feel like every time I turn on ESPN or look at some sports website, all the headlines are arrests, domestic violence,
here's the question,
beating kids.
Here's the question I have. Do you think the NFL, do you think, not the NFL, do you think football... like, being such a violent sport, and that's, like, their job, do you think what they do on the field makes them more likely to be violent off the field? Or do you think because they're already kind of violent people to begin with, it leads them to play football? So, what do you think is, if you had to say what the cause was, like, do you think violent people are attracted to football, or do you think football makes people violent?
That's a deep question. That's hard to answer because I'm sure.
It's just an opinion. You can't prove it.
Each player is different. I don't think just because you play football that makes you a
violent
person.
You don't think like just getting like knocked around all day, like you just go home and you just like just want to hit something.
Right. I mean, I don't think if you have high levels of aggressions, like you just want to play football because, you know, you just have to hit something I don't think domestic violence is caused because of the job that the players have.
You think more likely that violent people are attracted to football, so then they're violent and off the field as well?
No, I think people are just attracted to football because it's awesome. It's a great sport.
I mean, the people that play it, though. I'm not talking about you and me.
It's a sport. It's fun to play. I think that's why.
Then how do you explain why there's like such a higher level of like violence off the field for football players as opposed to like other people in the same?
Because this sort of thing has been
as
going
opposed to
on
NBA
for
players or whatever.
This sort of thing has been going on for the past 10 years, and I think because we were lacking like actual video evidence of what domestic violence actually means, for some reason it's been basically just pushed away. Like, okay, you get suspended for 2 games and like that's it. Like, we just have an Adam Schefter tweak. Oh, this guy's suspended for 2 games and then that's it. Like, oh crap, you know, I can't start him for my fantasy lineup. But I think once TMZ put out the video of Ray Rice and then the NFL lying about it, a lot of markets that aren't tied to the NFL are now just going crazy with just going like full on assault with reporting all the bad stuff that NFL players do, even though they've been doing this bad stuff for the past decade, probably even longer.
I know
the arrests per team, it's an incredible amount, and I think it's just now finally just coming into the limelight through a huge amount of media coverage, which I don't think is a bad thing. I mean, better late than never, in my opinion. I question, while saying that, though, with all this limelight now, or not limelight, with all this focus on
spotlight,
all these criminals basically playing in the National Football League, where is the leader of the league, Roger Goodell, in all of this? You think now would be the time to make a statement, ensure to like the fans, owners, like the people, because the NFL has a huge amount of power, that they are going to change their ways, like make more restrictions, like ban players for life for any sort of charge.
Well, I think they've started to, but it's not, I mean, I don't applaud them at all for doing so. They've only been reacting to the public outrage over, you know, what began with Rice and Peterson and, but I mean, like, if you take away the Ray Rice incident completely, like, Peterson is definitely hasn't missed a game yet, you know?
And Peterson's playing Sunday. Yep.
Exactly. And he would have played last week, and they would have been like, well, we're going to wait for the court trial, like, and he would have played until this whole season.
Exactly.
But, I mean,
even though that's not the right thing.
No.
Morally speaking, that's not the right thing to do.
No, definitely not. But it's just the way it would have been, and people would have just said, okay,
just
whatever,
gone along with it.
Just gone along with it.
Yep.
But, I mean, that elevator video, I mean, totally just changed, like, everyone's opinion. Now anybody that is, you know, does anything off the field, it's going to be looked at 10 times as much. And I think that's a good thing. Like, I mean, it's sad that it took so long for, like, the NFL to finally, like, realize they have like a huge problem, and I guess they probably didn't think they had a huge problem until the public made it a huge problem. I mean it's just as much like the media and the public and the fans' fault for just ignoring it as much as the NFL. Like, we all, like, I knew for a decade, you're right, like, I mean, as long as I can remember, I knew that, like, most of these, like, not most of these guys, but a lot of these guys were unsavory characters and off the field, and we all just looked the other way. But I am glad now that, you know, it's hopefully it's starting to change, and hopefully they'll stop, like, employing these people that continue to mess up off the field.
Yep. Yeah, it really should just be a zero tolerance policy.
Really, exactly. Why should you get? I mean, I don't know. Situations are different, and I do believe some people should get second chances, but not to the extent like that it's been happening.
All right. We'll do this next week.
Done.
After another win,
I'm going to the game.
Home. Are you?
Yep.
Nice rock pile.
No.
Good.
My friend's season tickets.
Well, there you go. When I move back, I'll probably get some. Probably get some seasons.
I'm pretty excited. Like, this is the, like, he usually takes me to a game or two each year, but, like, most of the time, like, I don't even really want to go. Like, the Bills suck, and it's cold out, and, like,
right.
I'm actually, like, super excited. This is the most excited I've been to go to a Bills game in my life, I think.
Yeah.
In my whole life.